The Precinctor Raider Weekly Miniatures News Podcast is brought to you by Zero Dark Sci-Fi Skirmish Gaming in a Fallen Earth. You can find Zero Dark from Wargame Vault. Just go to wargamevault.com and search for Zero Dark.
Welcome to the Precinct Omega Weekly Miniatures News Podcast. It is Friday the 10th of July. Sorry, had to think about that for a second. 2020. And here is the news.
The news.
This week, I am only putting one topic into the news. It's a little dated, but it took me time to get to this, and it's a long topic. So we're probably going to be a longer podcast this week. So buckle up, make yourselves a cup of tea, and settle in. Respected historical war games design studio Two Fat Lardies has released a statement accusing long-established online miniatures wargaming community, The Miniatures Page, of bullying and harassment of them and their fans. In return, The Miniatures Page has accused Two Fat Lardies of homophobia, bullying, and attempting to put them out of business. I want to try to objectively unpack the news that I have on this subject before I expand on it in the discussion. I'm going to refer to these two groups as TMP for The Miniatures Page and TFL for Two Fat Lardies, should you get confused. The Miniatures Page is one of the internet's oldest and largest tabletop wargaming communities, having been established way back in 1994. It was established by Bill Armintrout, who remains its owner and editor-in-chief today. It caters to an enormous range of genres and periods, and for historical wargaming in particular, it is a rich resource for people seeking advice on rules, miniatures, and the details of geography, weapons, logistics, and the historicity of their tabletop experience. But whilst its core demographic is in historical wargaming, it also caters very generously for fantasy and science fiction gaming in every scale and setting. As a result of its age, of its reach, and of its broad church, TMP enjoys a very long list of advertising supporters, from major companies like Warlord Games through to independent painting services. And as a result of the advertising revenue, running TMP isn't a labour of love for Mr. Armintrout, but his full-time job, as I understand it. It is also a job that apparently supports an editorial team of at least one other person. A consistent criticism of the site has long been that its user interface basically hasn't changed for over two decades, and it's undeniable that the appearance and the aesthetics of the site are basic. However, this is far from the only criticism of TMP. TMP has been the subject of complaints for at least the last 10 years, with the volume gradually increasing since 2012. The core of these complaints is with respect to an inconsistent approach from the editor-in-chief to the moderation of the community, and the weaponization of polls. This last bit can seem a bit confusing at first, and it certainly confused me, so I looked at it in more detail. A poll on TMP is just like one run anywhere else online. Users can vote for one of two or more answers to a question, the votes are added up, and you get a popular answer at the end. Most polls on TMP are completely innocuous, such as, which is the best Ancients rule set to play Thermopylae at 1/285th scale? Other polls are rather less so, such as, should such and such a username be banned from TMP? That's an extreme example, but it has happened. The reason these otherwise harmless Vox Pops calls controversy is that they are submitted to the editor-in-chief, who decides which will be published for voting and which won't. and as a consequence, that means that every poll on TMP is seen as the result of a specific editorial decision. So when a user feels targeted or attacked by a poll, consequently, it's not the person who proposed the poll by whom they feel targeted as such, as it is the editor-in-chief, Bill Armintrout, owner of TMP. Now, the editor's response has been an appeal to the First Amendment and the right of his users to express their freedom of speech, TMP being a United States-based website. Now, given that the First Amendment protects the freedom of speech of US citizens from interference from the government, not from private enterprise, it's a rather specious argument. Nevertheless, we'll allow it. Now, let's look at Two Fat Lardies. By comparison with TMP, they are comparative newcomers commercially, having really set up in around 2016. Now, although they do have their own forum, TFL is a Wargames design partnership, responsible for some very respected sets of rules, amongst the best known of which are Chain of Command for World War II Skirmish, Sharp Practice for Napoleonic Skirmish, and Dux Britanniarum for Dark Age battles. Most recently, they released a set of ancient warfare rules called Infamy Infamy. If you get that reference, you probably know everything you need to know about TFL. Their games are not highly produced. They aim more to be a rules delivery system than coffee table books. But that said, they make highly functional products with an emphasis on the quality of the rules and the games they can deliver over bells and whistles. TFL are highly active in the UK Wargames community and can be found at all of the big events and quite a few of the small ones, not running a stall to sell their games, but almost exclusively running participation games. Given the volume of their output and its quality, I would guess that the company constitutes a full-time job for at least one member of the partnership, maybe a part-time one for two of them. Given their focus on historical rules for a range of periods, the relatively basic aesthetics of their production, and the straightforwardness of their approach, it is easy to see why the miniatures page looked like an obvious place for TFL to want to market their products, and therefore to become an advertiser on their site. But like I said, rumours of the editor's inconsistent approach and the behaviour of some forum members at TMP have been grumbling around for quite a while. And in 2019, TFL approached Mr. Armintrout with concerns about how polls were being used to apparently denigrate their products. My understanding is that TFL also raised some concerns at the same time about editorial tolerance of discussions that crossed a line into misogyny and which certainly look like dog whistles to other toxic attitudes at the very least. Now, when Bill declined to make any changes on TMP, TFL decided they would withdraw their advertising sponsorship. So far, so straightforward. But then things got messy, and it starts to become tricky to pick out the facts from the allegations. What seems certain is that TMP has a rule about not publishing news about the products of people who aren't advertisers on their sites. That seems fair enough, I'm sure you'd agree. But that rule seems to have been extended to not letting members discuss products of people who aren't advertisers. Except that the rule wasn't applied to companies who never advertised on TMP, like, say, Games Workshop, but only applied to companies who had withdrawn advertising, usually after challenging editorial practices, just like TFL did. Consequently, people who discussed the forthcoming Infamy Infamy rules found their threads locked or deleted. People who persisted found themselves suspended. People who complained allegedly found themselves banned, although it should be said that TMP deny that they banned anyone over this. By their account, those people left of their own volition. The pace of all of this was steady but increasing, and TFL got wind of it. At this point, I need to take a break to talk about the Friends of Kenneth, because this is one of those things that is so multi-layered that it deserves to be unpacked. The Friends of Kenneth were, or are, members of TMP who began to discuss infamy in coded language, not so much to get around the ban as to deliberately antagonise Bill. Kenneth is a reference to Kenneth Williams, the late British comic actor who played Julius Caesar in the classic Carry On Cleo, who, when he was stabbed in the Forum, spoke the immortal lines, "Infamy, infamy, they've all got it, infamy. I promise it's funny when he says it." And it's from there that infamy, infamy, of course, gets its name. But going deeper, Friends of Kenneth also references an old British phrase, Friends of Dorothy, which was a code for gay men in Britain when homosexual relationships were still illegal. Friend of Dorothy was part of a whole secret gay lexicon in the 1950s and 60s called Polari, which entered the public imagination through a radio comedy show called Around the Horn, which starred Kenneth Williams. Anyway, having unpacked that, let's move on. So, after TFL discovered how all discussion of their game was getting shut down and their apparently loyal fans were being singled out and attacked on TMP, they contacted Bill again and had an exchange of emails. Bill then shared portions of that exchange on TMP with screenshots of the dialogue, ostensibly to clarify the position between the two companies. But Richard Clark at TFL, who wrote those messages, felt that he had had private correspondence made public without his permission and claimed that Bill had selectively published his remarks to make him look unreasonable. In response, on the 25th of June this year, he published a message on Facebook questioning the integrity of companies that chose to continue providing TMP with financial support through advertising. Unsurprisingly, TMP hit back with accusations and allegations of their own, the most supportable being that TFL was attempting to put them out of business. TFL had, after all, called on companies to withdraw financial support for TMP, which is where Bill gets his income and presumably how he pays his staff. There is a lot of chaff surrounding this whole thing. Some supporters of TFL, and frankly it has to be said, enemies of TMP, have used some pretty immoderate language and accused TMP members of all sorts of things, including homophobia, transphobia, racism, and worse. Others have written to advertising supporters accusing them of supporting, I quote, evil and being complicit in it. It's not been all one way either. Bill published Richard Clark's personal email address on TMP, and Richard received a fairly disgusting wave of hate mail as a consequence, despite Bill's request that people be civil. Inevitably, a whole raft of other allegations and conspiracy theories appear to have been rolled in with all of this on both sides of the argument, and I categorically do not plan to unpack any of those at all, because these, as well as the bad behaviour of people on both sides, are in fact irrelevant to the proper question at hand, which is this: should businesses provide financial support to the miniatures page? And that ends the news. Let's get on with some discussion.
The discussion.
So the first question is whether there is any such thing as bad publicity. It's often said that there isn't, and certainly if your objective is simple name recognition, then bad publicity can be as good publicity, sometimes even better, because you probably haven't paid for it, and it usually lasts longer in the public imagination. Certainly, a lot of people will have heard about TMP and TFL only as a result of this conflict. After all, here I am talking about it. But there certainly is such a thing as bad publicity. A business doesn't want to be publicised as being crooked, corrupt, or unfair. It doesn't want to be publicised as being misogynistic, racist, or homophobic. This is simple economics. There certainly are racist homophobes, but the general assumption is that they're a tiny minority, so not one anyone wants to have as a core demographic. even if recent events may have made us wonder if they aren't more prevalent than we might think, it is still fair to say that very few people wish to be considered a racist homophobe, even if they are one. So, even were a company to market itself to racist homophobes, those people aren't going to buy the company's product because they don't want to advertise themselves as racist homophobes. So, having established that this situation isn't going to be good for TMP, let's discuss whether TFL is right to, first, call out TMP for its alleged bad behaviour, and second, to call on other companies to withdraw sponsorship. In my other profession as an HR consultant, I'm often involved in investigations into allegations of misconduct in a professional setting. And something that people often don't realise is that outside of a criminal court, the burden of proof is something called the balance of probabilities. That is, that one account is more likely than not to be true. Now, there's no more strict definition of that, but it's clearly a much weaker weight of evidence required than there is for beyond reasonable doubt. Now, given the number of people who have complained about discriminatory moderation, bullying and harassment on TMP, we have to ask whether that's typical for this kind of community. There are certainly complaints about other large forums. Let's look at two examples, Daka Daka and Frothers. If we look at those other complaints, they are of a different nature. Complaints about Daka Daka, for example, tend to be the opposite of those on TMP. People complaining that Daka moderators shut them down, closed their threads or banned them for expressing their freedom of speech. In other words, they were being abusive or sharing material that broke community guidelines. Complaints about Frothers certainly include it being an unforgiving and fairly abusive community, but Frothers advertises itself as unforgiving and abusive. No one joins Frothers unaware of what they're getting into. And importantly, Frothers doesn't carry advertising. So given that TMP has been the subject of complaints, consistently and of a consistent type of complaint for almost a decade, it is fair for the external observer to conclude that the allegations are credible. That is, the allegation that Bill Armintrout exercised an inconsistent moderation approach towards the bullying and abuse of people against whom he holds a personal grudge is more likely than not. If Bill were an employee, he would be facing an allegation of gross misconduct and likely summary dismissal. But in his defence, he would surely call out the behaviour of Two Fat Lardies in this case, not to mention that of the many others who have called him out on his moderation approach. Now, there can be no question that TMP has suffered some fairly vitriolic attacks from TFL fans. But I can't find any evidence that TFL either encouraged or endorsed this. Their call was always to sponsors to withdraw their financial support. And whilst it's not unreasonable to conclude that this was also a call for members to cease their membership, it's a stretch to conclude that it was a call to arms for a general assault on TMP, on Bill or his staff. It is a fact that this general assault did happen, but it would not be fair, in my opinion, to say that TFL intended this. They could have been less public about their call to defund TMP, but then they were, after all, exercising their First Amendment rights by doing so. And one has to say, live by the sword, die by the sword. By contrast, Bill made a public post on TMP giving Richard Clark's personal email address. He went on to ask people to be civil, but I'm afraid that this exhortation is little more than a fig leaf to what seems to me an obvious attempt to encourage a hate bomb assault on Rich, turning what began as a dispute between companies into a personal attack. In this, then, my conclusion is that TMP took a commercial dispute into the personal arena first, and by doing so only further underlined my earlier conclusion that Bill's moderation approach, encouraging and endorsing abusive behaviour on TMP, is intentional. Having reached that conclusion, then, the next question must be, what to do about it. So let me say first, Bill owns TMP. He is entitled to run it however he likes, and that is an absolute. Meanwhile, Bill's advertising sponsors are entitled to withdraw their sponsorship if they wish. That too is absolute. Wishing to remove advertising revenue from TMP, though, is not the same as wishing to close it down. The behaviour of businesses is guided by money. If a company behaves in a certain way and they are compensated by doing so, then they will continue to behave in that way. If you don't like how they behave, don't give them money. Calling upon sponsors to withdraw advertising revenue from TMP isn't an attempt to close the forum down. It's an attempt to persuade the TMP business to behave differently. That is, to establish clear guidelines on acceptable behaviour and to enforce those guidelines without favour. TMP doesn't have to do that. TMP and its management can continue on its current path, but if he chooses to continue down that path, he shouldn't expect to continue to be compensated for that decision. Of course, companies and business owners also have to take a certain moral responsibility if they do choose to sponsor other business. They may not be regular users of TMP or be aware of its reputation or the growing number of complaints. It is therefore the responsibility of those companies, customers, and partners to bring this to their attention. Once they have it brought to their attention, they must then engage with this moral quandary. When does doing the right thing trump my desire to make more money? I will leave you with that thought, and we will move on to talk about Precinct Omega and how it sits within all of this.
Precinct Omega.
No business is spotless. I prepared the script on Google Docs, and Google's not a nest of angels. I own a Kindle, and I occasionally buy books from it from Amazon, and they are definitely not saints. I promote my own business a lot on Facebook, and heaven knows that is a ball of snakes. I've just finished watching all four seasons of The Good Place, and no spoilers, but the whole message of that show is that modern life is too complex to be certain of making consistent ethical decisions. But sometimes we are faced with decisions that are simple, and where our decision can make a difference. When I started Precinct Omega Limited, I gave serious thought to advertising on TMP. I wanted to reach customers. I wanted to enjoy a dialogue with players. In short, I wanted to make money. TMP looked like a good place to advertise and achieve those objectives. But on the other hand, I also knew TMP's reputation. Not only had I seen the complaints, but a good friend and fellow wargaming entrepreneur had been at the sharp end of a pretty awful experience on TMP. And he was not alone amongst our circle of contacts in having had that experience. For me, it came down to this. If I gave financial support to TMP, I would be failing to show support to my friend. And some things aren't worth any amount of money. I don't think TMP is, quotes, evil. I certainly don't think that its members or its sponsors are evil. And as for the record, I don't think Bill Armintrout is evil either. I do, however, think that Bill feels that an attack on the financial security of his business model is an attack on his person, and hasn't yet come to terms with the idea that he might have to change how his business operates. Given that TMP has spent the last 20 years resisting change, I don't think it's going to start now. But I would like to be surprised. The issues are out in the open now, though, so other companies do need to be told. I started by telling Wargame Vault, who are a sponsoring company of TMP. I asked if they had any plans to withdraw their sponsorship, and they told me that they don't. Precinct Omega relies on Wargame Vault as our publisher and principal sales platform. And I cannot overlook that by supporting Wargame Vault, I'm supporting TMP at one step removed. There are other companies that I love and support who also sponsor TMP. Brigade Models, Peter Pig, Callistra, Eureka Miniatures, Darkest Star. But although I like these companies and their people and their products, I'm not actively engaged in creating their income, as I am at Wargame Vault. Detaching myself from Wargame Vault will be difficult and painful. It's a terrific platform. I love what it does to allow small designers to glean a little income from their creative work. I love that they're generous to their creators and imaginative in their promotional work. Wargame Vault, along with its parent company, One Bookshelf Inc., raises a lot of money every year for charity. But the dismissive response I had from them makes me call into question how serious they are about supporting the community, if it in any way risks even a tiny part of their income. And that's not how I like to do business. If they'd even given me the impression that they were thinking about it, or that they were concerned at all about the allegations of the behaviour at TMP and looking into the issue, I probably would have been satisfied. But their response to me was simple and straightforward. They will continue to support TMP financially, with no concern for the allegations or the direction of the forum's journey. It's going to cost me a lot to extract, and it's going to take time. But extract I will. Hopefully by the end of this financial year. 85 other companies advertise on TMP. I suspect some of them are ones that you love. So the next question is for you. Will you continue to purchase products from these companies happy that a percentage, a tiny percentage admittedly, but a percentage nevertheless, is going to support TMP, given what I've told you today? If that gives you pause, any pause at all, then I would encourage you to let those companies know, politely and concisely, that you will not be buying their products as long as they support TMP with advertising. Unless TMP and its editorial team make changes to the way they moderate their communities. If, on the other hand, you feel moved as a consequence of what you've heard today to send me hate mail, then my email address is precinctomega@gmail.com, or of course you can comment wherever you've listened to this podcast. Thank you, either way, for your attention. I appreciate you listening. And I will be back again next week.
The Precinct Omega Weekly Miniatures News Podcast is supported by our patrons on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/Precinct Omega to support the Patreon, developing new miniatures games and creating hobby content for Wargames miniatures enthusiasts all over the world.